All right, so today we are starting a new sermon series titled Sold Out. It's a sermon series titled Sold Out, where we see how living like Jesus Christ matters the most to us. We're living like Jesus Christ. We see how those people of us who consider to be believers, consider to be Jesus followers, how living like Jesus matters the most to us. And we're going to be looking at a couple of stories from the Bible, and we're going to look at the disciples. These are people who follow Jesus. They follow Jesus, but they just didn't begin with following Jesus. In the beginning, they were scared. They were fearful. They were filled with doubt. They were filled with fear, and they were afraid. But these disciples go on to serve Jesus. They go on to live with Jesus. They go on to live like Jesus. They go on to be persecuted for Jesus. They go on to die, both figuratively and literally. They died to their sins, but they also died for Jesus. And so today we're going to be starting off this sermon series, and we're going to see how, as followers of Jesus, we can live life in the face of doubt. How, as followers of Jesus, we can live our life in the face of doubt. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew 14. And if you're online, I'm sure the scripture will come or scroll up. So we're going to read Matthew 14, verse 25 to 33. If you're able to, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for having us in this place right now, because you have us here for a reason. And so, God, I pray that we hear your word, but I pray that your word transforms our hearts so that we can live for you. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. We can take our seats. Now, a year ago, last year in January, was a season where my life or my faith walk took a beating, where my faith was filled with doubt. If you were in Malawi last year in January, you agree with me that when COVID-19 was fresh on the scene in Malawi, we lost a lot of prominent people, right? So January of 2021, there's a lot of people who we lost. And one of those people we lost was a dear uncle to me, my Uncle Patrick. And I talk about this quite a lot because my uncle and I were quite close. We were very close. He was that uncle who treated me as if I was his own child. You know, I remember telling my parents that, God forbid, if anything was to happen to you guys, God forbid, but I know that my uncle loves us so much that he would be able to take care of us as if we were his own. And we lost him. I remember that Thursday morning like it was yesterday. I was sleeping in bed and got a text from my mom saying, "Hey, your uncle's condition is getting worse. Let's pray." So I got out of bed, knelt down by the side of my bed, and I started to pray. Asking God, pleading with God, "Please heal my uncle. Please save my uncle. Please be with my uncle." And as I was praying, I got a text message from my little brother saying, "Uncle Patrick is gone." And I cried. I cried like a little baby, because Uncle Patrick was that uncle. He loved us. He loved us like we were his own kids. And it was at that moment that my faith got a beating. We asked God, why? Why did you take him? Why did you take my uncle? I studied mass communication in college because my uncle was a boss at a radio station. And when I was a kid, he would always ask me to go to the radio station just to play around. And then after playing around, me and my best friends were invited to be interns there, where we did radio programs. And that encouraged me so much so that I went to college and I studied mass communication because of his influence. I am a pastor today because my uncle was a reverend. And after I graduated with my mass communication degree, I remember him asking me, so what's next? So what are we doing next? Because you have this thing you do with these little kids, these young ones through the Ministry of Young Life, and I see you're doing this, but you also have a heart for media. So what are we doing next? You know, he encouraged my walk of becoming a pastor. And at the time, I had just accepted the call by God to say, okay, fine, let's do this pastor thing. Let's plant this church in Mzuzu. Just literally a month later, God decides to take my uncle. And I'm there asking God, why? Why him? And you know what hurt me the most is my uncle died at the moment I was praying for him. In that moment, I was kneeling by the bed. In that moment between my mom sending me that message to pray and my little brother sending me that message that he's gone, I was on my bed praying for my uncle. And God decided to take him. God decided to take my uncle. And I was filled with doubt. Like, God, why didn't you hear my prayer? Like, God, were you not listening to what I was saying? As things are beginning to at least look up for me in my life, this one man I want to walk with me during this journey of being a pastor and planting a church, you have taken him from me. And throughout the year of 2021, these are familiar stories that I kept on hearing from people who've lost loved ones. I mean, people died to different reasons, right? But because COVID-19 was so ripe at the time, most of the stories we would hear were about COVID-19, people dying because of COVID-19. And I heard stories on how people have lost their loved ones. And the same people who are telling me the stories are also at junctures where they're questioning their faith, where they're questioning God, where they're having doubts on what might be happening. And so we go through the year with a lot of loss. And as 2021 is coming to an end, it seems as if COVID is, I don't know, dying out or slowing down, right? So now we have life beginning to pick up. And we have grieved the loss of our loved ones. Life is beginning to pick up. And then war breaks out. War breaks out in a far land, but that war is affecting us today. Not just affecting us, but you see videos, you see pictures, you see things that are happening there that make you question, like, God, don't you see what is going on? Don't you see that your people are hurting? Don't you see that your people are in pain? What is going on? And then we begin to doubt God's power. As war is happening in distant lands, even back home, COVID-19 or the pandemic made us stay home, right? So most of us stayed home. Schools were shut, so we're home, which was funny because then parents had to be teachers. So now you have to go back to solving fractions, which most of us, if we could say, solve fraction or you can leave the church, would all just start sleeping here, right? But that meant people are now staying home. People are now more home than they're out there, which means people are now starting to face themselves. They're now starting to face their fears. They're now starting to face their traumas. They're now starting to face the things that affect their lives. And as you face the things that are affecting your life, sometimes you start to question your salvation. Sometimes you start to question your identity in God. Because that sin that you thought you had handled well is right alive in your space. Those things you thought you were struggling with in the past, but you were hiding, are now right in front of you. And these are things that you need to deal with. These are things that are wanting you to deal with them. And so in those moments, we doubt our salvation. We doubt our identity in Jesus. We doubt the fact that Jesus calls us his friends. We doubt that God calls us his children. And for others, The doubt comes from fellow believers. You doubt because of the way fellow believers have treated you. We doubt because of the way people who claim to represent Christ, people who claim to live for Jesus, have treated us. And most of the times, these people are not distant people. They're usually people we know. They're usually friends. They're usually family. Might be our parents, our brothers, our siblings, who treat us in ways that make us question if Jesus is really who he says he is. Because these people who claim to follow Jesus, well, they are living their lives in ways that do not reflect who Jesus is. Now, if you're in this church and you've experienced any of these moments, and maybe others that I didn't mention, and if you're watching online and these are experiences that you have had, then I want to tell you this morning that your faith at some point was met with some doubt. That your faith at some point was met with uncertainty. That your faith at some point was met with fear. And in Matthew 14, 25 to 33, the passage you just read, we see the disciples who are faced with doubt. The disciples who had just been with Jesus. They're coming from a place where they were with Jesus and they're now on the boat. They've left Jesus because Jesus wants to go to seclude himself to pray. And so now they've been on this boat for so long, the winds and the waves are crushing on their boat and they are starting to get scared. They're starting to be afraid. They're starting to be scared with where they are, and they faced doubt. But with every doubt that they have, with every moment of doubt that they have, Jesus fights it back with his assurance. With every doubt that they face, Jesus fights it back with his assurance. And his assurance reminds them that he is there with them. He hasn't gone anywhere. He is there with them. And his assurance invites them to trust him. It invites them to trust who he is. And his assurance brings them closer to him. And as much as his assurance was true to the disciples then, I'm here to tell you guys that his assurance is true for all of us this moment. His assurance is true for you and I in this moment. Now, Jesus' assurance reminds them of who he is. And we see that in verse 27 where the Bible says, Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Now, have you guys ever been in a moment where you're anxious? You get to a place and you're filled with anxiety. Maybe it's a church where you've come here because you know no one. It's your first time in church. You're filled with anxiety and you're scared. But as soon as you see someone you know, or as soon as you hear a voice you know, a voice you're familiar with, you start to feel okay. You know, you start to feel safer in that place because there is someone in that space that you know. Now, there's a season in my life I was trying to fix my license. If you're a Malawian or if you've lived in Malawi for quite some time, you agree with me that there are two places that make you question your faith. The one is road traffic. The second is immigration offices, which I believe we've all gone through. But there's also a possible third. With the introduction of national IDs, the Malawi Registration, National Registration Bureau, is also a place that makes you question your faith. Like, really? Are we going through this? And if you are here and you work for any of these organizations, we love you. We have coffee in the back for free. It's on the house. All right? So don't feel any type of way. We love you. But there was a season in my life that I was trying to get my license sorted out, and I went to traffic. And it was a messed up situation. I'm there, I'm anxious. I go there early in the morning because they say if you go early, you're going to be helped first. But you go there early and the network is acting up. So now you have to chill and just wait. And we're there chilling and waiting. I'm scared, I'm anxious, and I see someone I know. I see a friend of mine. And as soon as I see this friend, I start to relax. As soon as I see this friend, I start to have hope. As soon as I see this friend, I start to have an assurance that things are going to get better. And this friend of mine did not work for road traffic. He wasn't a, we call them doba-doba, injijewa. In English, in the first service, people said it was a hustler? A hustler who works there, but doesn't work there, but is always there. You know? My friend wasn't one of these guys. He was just a friend of mine. We're all going through the same process at the same time. And so we're at this place. I see him. He sees me. But because we know each other, there is a sense of assurance. There's a sense of, I got you. You got me. Let's do this together. Now, this is an assurance I got from a fellow human being. An assurance I got from a fellow friend. Now imagine if Jesus is giving you a similar assurance. Imagine if Jesus is giving you assurance about who he is. And Jesus is more than these friends we have. Jesus is beyond these people who are around us. Jesus is our Savior. And he's giving us that assurance. Now the disciples had been on this boat for close to 9 hours. If you read the Bible and some commentaries, it actually tells you that they had been in this water, on this boat, struggling with the waves for 9 hours. And at the time that Jesus was approaching them, it was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So you can imagine they're tired. You imagine they're tired, they've been faced with this calamity, they're scared. And they see Jesus coming towards them. It is why the fitting response for them was to look out and think that he is a ghost. They looked out and thought Jesus coming to them was a ghost. But not only that, if you look back to how the Jewish people lived, if you looked out at how the Pharisees of those days lived, they had a notion of some kind. They had a superstition of some kind of that demons come out at night. And I thought to myself, it's not different with us these days, where the nighttime is when you expect, you know, to be happening. And so they thought that Jesus was a god, rightfully so. Was a ghost, not a goat. A ghost. He is the goat, greatest of all time. But they thought he was a ghost, rightfully so, because of what they believed, because of what they saw coming right in front of them. But immediately Jesus sees them. He sees that they are afraid, and he gives them his assurance. Jesus says, "It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I, the I am who I am. Your Father, your Savior, do not be afraid." And Jesus' response in this moment is meant to assure these disciples. It's meant to assure them about who he is and that he is around, and so that they are in good hands, so they shouldn't be afraid of anything. This is the same Jesus who, right before this moment, right before where they are, he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Right before they take off, this is what Jesus had just done to them. And that same Jesus is walking towards them with assurance, letting them know that the storms might be beating your boat right now. The waves might be crazy, the winds might be angry, and you might be afraid, rightfully so. But it is him. It is Jesus. The I am who I am. So do not be afraid. And he's assuring you and I the same today. Jesus is giving you and I the same assurance this morning. But I can't stand here and claim as if I know the storms that you're facing. I can't stand here to say I know the situation you're going through, because trust me, I am a pastor, but I'm going through my own storms as well. I am going through some storms that are shaking my boat. It was funny when I received this text that, hey, you're going to be preaching about doubt. Right after the first service, I was talking to Harry, the guy who's getting married. He says, you know, it's funny how you're being used as a vessel, because whatever it is that you're going through is what is being preached. So last week, I had one of my toughest weeks as a pastor. I had a very rough week where my emotions were all over the place. I had a tough week where things were not going my way. I had a tough week where I'm meeting people, and some of the stories I'm hearing are just crushing me. Because people are in need of Jesus, because people are in need of what he can offer them. I had a really tough and emotional week where I'm having conversations with friends, and my friends are calling me out, rightfully so, calling me out of some things that I've been doing and I haven't noticed. And trust me, they bruised my ego. These are things that really bruised my ego. But at the same time, they made me think, hey, you see, these are your flaws. This is what you're up to. This is what you've been doing. So maybe you are not capable of leading. And so I'm filled with doubt. I'm filled with uncertainty. I'm filled with fear that maybe I can't lead. And I remember going to church last week in Zuzu at the place we rent. So it's a hotel that used to be a hotel, you know. So they're not functioning right now. So we rent their restaurant space. But they have a lobby on the other side. And we got to church and just went to sit on the lobby. Just sitting. Fighting doubt. Fighting insecurity. Fighting fear. Fighting uncertainty. Just hiding. That maybe let me just get done with this sermon, then I go home and hide in my room. Let me get done with this service, then I go home and don't come out again. You know, I was fighting that. To make things worse, my little brother lost a best friend. My little brother lost a friend who was a friend to all of us. They've been family friends for years. His friend's uncle was my dad's best man. So we know them. We are family. What didn't hurt me is not the fact that we lost him. That did hurt me. Don't get me wrong. It hurt. But I know what this family has been through. In the past year, they've lost his dad. At the beginning of the year, they lost their grandma. And just last week, they lost him. And I'm in a space and place where I'm asking God, why is this happening? God, why is this happening? Why is the storm messing with these boats we are on? And at that point and at that moment, faith starts to dwindle and doubt starts to increase. I begin to doubt God a little bit more, a little bit more. And we might be here, we're going through the same situations. We might be here, we're asking God the same questions. We might be here, we're facing the similar storms. We might be here and our cups are half empty. If that's you, trust me, I hear you. If that is you in this place, I need you to trust me. I hear you. And going through this passage, there's one encouragement that I have found. That encouragement is the fact that Jesus is continuously giving us his assurance. Jesus is asking us to take heart, to know that he is here in the midst of our doubt. Not to instill fear, not to be what he is not. Because if anything, Jesus is coming to bring us peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Prince of Peace. So he is coming to give us and to bring us peace. So we shouldn't be afraid because Jesus is here. So we shouldn't be afraid because Jesus cares. But I know it's one thing to hear it. It's another to experience it. It's one thing to hear it, especially if you're going through the most. It's one thing to hear it, especially if you are being dealt with some bad cards over and over again. And at this point in scripture, we see that Jesus actually invites Peter. He just doesn't tell him, do not be afraid. He invites Peter. And what I really like about this part, especially this portion, is that Peter was human. We might read stories of the Bible and how Peter was part of the early church, how Peter denied Jesus 3 times, how Peter preached the first sermon, how his preaching the first sermon saved 3,000 people. But we need to understand that Peter was just like you and I, human. And so he went through these things. He went through feeling that doubt. And in this moment where he sees Jesus, he thinks Jesus is a ghost. You know? He asks Jesus. He says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Command me to come to where you are. And Jesus' response was not, no, wait, wait there, I'll find you. No, Jesus' response was, come. Jesus responded to Peter saying, come. Like, Lord, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, if you are assuring me that this is you in this moment of doubt I am in, if God, you are assuring me that this is you I am seeing in this moment of uncertainty, in this moment that I'm being fearful, then help me. Help me come to a place where I see you. Help me come to where you are. Help me come to what you're calling me to. And Jesus is responding to say, come. All Jesus is saying is, come. And Jesus is not just saying come for the sake of it. He's asking us to come because he is inviting us to experience his assurance. Jesus is the assurance, but he just doesn't want to tell you about it. He's inviting you to come and experience his assurance. And us experiencing Jesus' assurance is an invitation to trust him. This is an invitation for us to trust him. So however that might look to you in that season of doubt you're in, Jesus is continuously inviting you to come. And his invitation for you to come is so that we can experience his assurance. so that we can be people who have experienced what he is saying. We're experiencing his word. So for some of us, Jesus inviting us to come, it looks like you coming to church this morning. You coming to church this morning. You probably woke up feeling, ish, let's do this again. It's Sunday, it's in the morning, I don't want to argue with anyone. Let's just go to that place. 30 minutes later, depending on how long he preaches, we'll be out. And you're probably thinking, dude, it's almost lunch. We need to go. But however it is that you've come to this place, it's Jesus inviting you to come to this place so that you can experience him. For some of us, it's our friends who are standing in that gap and representing Jesus because they've invited us to be here. You've come here because your friend invited you to come to church. Because Jesus wants you to experience his assurance so that you can trust him. For some of you guys, you've probably not been in church for a long time. You've probably not been in church for a while because you are facing and experiencing doubt up and up again over time. Doubt is just hitting you. Every single moment in your life is a doubtful moment to you. And so you're probably here for the first time saying, let's just try it out. Let's just try this thing out. I've heard of Flat Church. Let's go just try it out. I want you guys to know that that is also an invitation. That is Jesus' invitation so that you can experience his assurance. And our experiencing his assurance will lead us to trust him. At whatever stage you might be, Jesus is inviting us. Not just to know of his assurance, because it's one thing to know about it. It's another thing to experience it. Jesus is inviting us not just to know of his assurance, but to experience his assurance. The Bible tells us that Peter got out that boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Peter was able to walk on that water. Now, he didn't walk on that water and start to tap dance around the water because, hey, look at me, I can walk on water now. He didn't walk on that water and start walking aimlessly. Okay, fine, we're here now. What do we do next? But as Peter walks on water, he goes towards Jesus. As Peter walks on water, he goes towards where Jesus was. He walked to the direction of Jesus, who through his power enabled Peter to walk on water. Peter walked on murky water. Peter walked on that water that has been disturbing him and the other disciples for 9 hours. Peter walked on that water that has been scaring him while he was in that boat. And Jesus is extending the same invitation to you and I. His invitation does not only assure us of him, it does not only allow us to trust him, but his invitation allows us to go back to him. His invitation allows us to go back to where he is, where we have wandered off because of our doubt, where the waves and storms of our doubt have pushed us all over the place. But he's saying, come. And Jesus saying, come, is bringing us back to him. Jesus, his invitation is allowing us to trust him. But through his power, through Jesus' power, Peter is now able to walk on this water to go back to where Jesus is. Because Peter has been in this water for 9 hours, guys. That's a very long time. And if Peter had the capability or the power to walk alone, probably would have done that a long time ago. Why would he 9 hours? But he could only be able to do this because of the power that Jesus has. He could only be able to walk back to Jesus because of Jesus' power. Because of his assurance, because of trusting in Jesus, but because of Jesus' power. Now verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And this is a prayer that I know most of us have prayed. I love this part because it makes Peter very relatable. One moment you're on track, starting to trust again. You're getting Jesus' assurance. You're starting to walk back to Jesus. And the next moment is as if everything around you is actually causing you to doubt again. The next moment is as if everything around you is setting you up to fail so that you can doubt again. Now, as Peter is walking back to Jesus, it's not that he was just walking back to Jesus. No. Peter is walking back on the same waves, on the same water, on the same wind that has been disturbing him for the past 9 hours. And the only time the Bible actually tells us that there was calm is when Jesus and Peter went back on the boat. But throughout this entire time, the place was a mess. The wind was still blowing. The winds were still angry. The water was still very angry in that moment. But this tells us something, that when Jesus invites us to come, as we walk back towards him, I think the misconception we all have as people is that the journey will be smooth. The misconception we all have as people is that we're going to smoothly transition back to where Jesus is. But if we see from this story, the journey walking back to Jesus was in the middle of Peter's problems. The journey of walking back to where Jesus was is in the middle of the things that are causing Peter to doubt. In the midst of all Peter is afraid of all Peter has been scared of for this past 9 hours. Now the world will continue to throw things at us. The world, it will never stop. Might seem as if we're done with COVID and then there's a war out there. Might be something after that. Because the world will never be at a place where it stops throwing things at us. And that is, I guess that's a messed up thing when you think of it. Because we're living in a generation that wants the soft life. You know, you just want everything to come easy, everything to be easy. And as soon as you think things are coming easy, then bam, you're hit by something else. We're hit by another calamity. And we're back to a place where we don't really have faith. We're back to a place where we're starting to doubt God. But a beautiful realization from this is that as much as the world will keep on throwing these things at us, as much as the world will keep on throwing things at us that will make us doubt Jesus, Jesus is there with us. Jesus is there with us. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in a world that hates him, even in a world that is messed up, Jesus is standing by with us. The Bible tells us that Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him. Jesus reached out his hand and took a hold of him. When you and I cry to Jesus in the face of our adversity, his hand is not too short that he can't save us. When you and I cry out in the face of whatever it is we're going through, his hand is not too short for him to take us out of that place. His hand is not too short for him to take us out from where we are. The Bible tells us that, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out. Peter was in what today we can look at a sunken place. He's going in that water, he's sinking, he's lost all hope, and he's crying out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Jesus' hand is not too short to save you from that sunken place you're in. Jesus' hand is not too short to save you from where it is that you are doubting. His hand is not too short to save you from where it is that your fears have made a home. His hand is not too short for where it is that uncertainty is ruling over your life. Because Jesus is there. His assurance is the fact that he is there. And he is there for you. And Jesus tells Peter, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now this is a funny place for me. Because it's a verse that has either been manipulated or misused for us. It's been manipulated or misused for us. In a place where if you pray for something and that something does not happen, you are looked as if you don't have faith, right? But if you pray for something and that something happens, then you're probably the most faithful and they'll keep bringing people to you so that you can continue to pray for them so that things might happen. But what I love about this portion of scripture is that Jesus did not tell Peter that you are not faithful. Jesus did not tell Peter that you are an unbeliever. Whoa, English. Jesus did not tell Peter that he is an unbeliever. Jesus did not tell Peter that he does not have faith at all. All Jesus said was, "You of little faith." All Jesus called out was Peter's little faith, because Peter did have little faith. If you look at the passage, it is Peter's little faith that caused him to doubt. It is Peter's little faith that causes him to sink. It is Peter's little faith that is concerned and affected by the things that are going on around him. But it is also Peter's little faith that is true faith. It is also Peter's little faith that allowed him to walk towards Jesus. It is also Peter's little faith that allows him to obey Jesus. It is also Peter's little faith that allows him to cry out to Jesus. In the same line, it is our little faith that is true faith. It is our little faith that is the faith that allows us to obey Jesus. It is our little faith that allows us to cry out to Jesus in our times of trouble. It is our little faith that allows us to be near Jesus, that allows us to find safety in Jesus, that allows us to come closer to Jesus. So, all you of little faith, why are you currently doubting? Is it because of a promise that Jesus did not fulfill? Is it because of something Jesus said he would do and that he didn't do in your life? Is it because of a pain we faced? We lost a loved one. We lost out on an opportunity. We lost out on something that would have changed our lives. Is it because of that? Is it because someone treated you in a way that makes you question who Jesus is? Is it because someone treated you in a way that put you in a place where you're questioning everything you believe? Whatever it might be, whatever that may be that is causing you to doubt, whatever it is that is making you to be in a place where you doubt, Jesus is fighting that with his assurance. Jesus is constantly fighting that with his assurance repeatedly because he loves you. Jesus is fighting that with his assurance repeatedly because he cares for you, because he is there for you. The Bible says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Take heart, it is him, do not be afraid. But also one thing I would love to encourage you guys to look around you. Whatever little goodness that is in your life right now, whatever little goodness, whatever it might be, is proof and testimony of his assurance. However small it might be, however little you might regard it to be, it is proof and testimony of his assurance. It is proof of his assurance. And with his assurance, we can trust him. And with his assurance, we can go back to him. Verse 32 and 33 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Truly you are the Son of God. Jesus will always demonstrate his power, even with our little faith. He will always demonstrate how powerful he is, even with our little faith. And he will use our little faith, not just to bring us closer to him, but to let those around us to be able to worship him. That little faith you have, he will use it to allow you to have the assurance of who he is. He will use it to allow you to have the assurance to trust him again. And he will use it to bring you back to him. But it will also allow those who are around you to worship him, because he is truly the Son of God. Amen? Let us pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for you are God. And God, there's so much that happens in our lives that we just can't understand. We just can't fathom. So much that is going on around us that is hurtful, is painful. And we have so much questions. And I know at times that the church has not done a good job at answering these questions. I know at times the church has treated people like outsiders for having these questions. But I pray, God, that you allow us as a church to be in a place where we don't only love people who have questions, but also understand that at whatever point of our faith, we might be faced with doubt. And as we are faced with doubt, we are assured of your promise that you are there, that you are our assurance, and that as you continue to assure us, you are inviting us to a place where we trust you. And that as we trust you, are inviting us to a place where we come back to you. We run back to your loving arms. And that as we come back to you, Lord Jesus, whatever it is that you're doing in our lives will bring us peace. Peace that only comes from you. But it will also allow those around us to get to worship you. Because you are truly God. So we thank you. I pray that this is not just things we hear, but these are words that are coming from your word that we live by. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I've prayed. Amen. If you're in here and you need prayer, we're going to have prayer counselors on my left and my right, close to where these doors are. We just want to pray for you. We just want to be here for you. We just want to listen. We just want to hear you. And I'll just invite us all to stand and sing this song with the praise team.